And welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines here now for the next couple hours, midweek Open Lines. So I'm looking forward to this. Lots going on. My gosh, if you want to talk about the situation in Korea and your thoughts about that. I love that miracle story I had at our first hour of that little eight-year-old boy who was able to jack up his father's car that had fallen on the father, crushing him. He was in critical condition. The little boy was able to do it, and he says angels helped him. I love that. So let's get into all your calls when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got open lines for you. Let's go right to the phones. We'll go to Jack in Detroit. Welcome to the show, back in my old hometown. How are things in the Motor City, Jack?
Okay, George. I was wondering, can I share my birth date with you before we get going?
Yeah, absolutely.
11-12-50. I was born at East Side General at 1:23 a.m. and I lived at Parkside Projects. Yeah, I grew up there. Yeah, and I survived the projects, George.
I was born in Mount Carmel Mercy Hospital out there.
Okay.
And then raised at 7 Mile and Lauder in that area for years. Then we moved down to Dearborn Heights.
Oh, all right, George, yes. I was at East Warren and Connor.
Yep, know it well.
Now, I called you up. I have a theory I'd like to share with you.
All righty, let's hear it.
Okay, I'm going to put the Great Pyramid, I'm going to link it with the magnetic field. Now, the builders knew about the magnetic field, and they knew about the Earth's wobble. So they made a decision to save some of the people and some of the animals. So they created a great cavern with running water and pig pens, cow pens, told the people to go underground. And they may not have said that when the magnetic field ends that the DNA would be destroyed, but they may have said there'd be a big flare, everybody would go blind, and your animals, so go underground. So even the layman would grab his camel and say, big guy, we're going underground. So all these people go underground, they roll a stone, the magnetic field hits zero. The sun side of the earth is magnetic field at zero, and what happens, the rotation is at 15 miles a second or 1,000 miles. So when it goes to zero, within 3 minutes, the magnetic field comes back.
Huh.
Yeah.
How'd you figure that out?
Well, I got the idea from Professor Mikikaku.
Yes.
Something, and gave me a good idea about it.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
So when the people came out, George, from the field, the builders would have known when they come out, and the first thing they would have done is find a new North Star, Polaris. Perhaps that's why all the steel buildings around the world are built so precisely, which means, in my opinion, the Great Pyramid was built and constructed with the magnetic field in the south. Thumen was the North Star, and the builders incorporated the wobble into the Great Pyramid.
Now, here's the question, Jack. How did they build them in the first place?
Well, I can't answer that.
That's the secret. Hey, Jack, thanks. Oh, you're going to love this call. Hello there.
How dare you, Mr. Norrie, give me a hello there? You who are cavorting off to Canada to get your marching orders, no doubt. Do you know who this is, Mr. Norrie?
It's J.C. Webster III.
The third god, 10-star general in the war against media pornography. And even though J.C. Webster is calling you from Soviet-occupied America with Putin's puppet, Mr. Trump grabber himself in charge, destroying this nation. Today was a great day. As millions of women across the country said, we don't want to go to work no more. And we're protesting you, Mr. Trump. So we're going to stay home. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to shop. We're just going to go home and leave you all to your devices. It was a day without a woman.
Well, J.C., you've gone years without a woman. Your girlfriend Edna ran away with some guy on a bicycle, a motorcycle.
Mr. Norris,
you never got her back, did you?
Every day is a day without Edna at the compound, and you stab at the heart, you dastardly villain.
She sends us, JC, she sends us pictures. She sends us. She sends us pictures weekly with her new boyfriend. They seem very happy.
Yes, the dirty bikers, the same bikers that are bikers for that Mr. Tramp, who's just a Soviet puppet who's destroying America. But you have to bring up Edna, don't you?
Is that why you're crying? Did I rub you the wrong way?
I have not been feeling well. JC has been ill. JC is not crying. How dare you impugn his manliness that he would cry over a willful woman where the kitchen hasn't been cleaned in years?
She never came back, did she?
George, you're hiring her out. That's the word on the street. And if you know where she is.
We know where she is. She sends us letters every week.
You've got to relent. You got to send her back to the compound, Mr.
I can't get her back for you, JC. I tried. Because we
you
really
tried. That's a lie. With all your criminal connections in the underworld, you could pull some string and get her back from them dirty bikers.
Go cry, JC. Go cry.
How dare you insinuate that JC would cry? A man without a woman and the day without a woman, hopefully the next day without a woman protest is a silent protest. That would be even better.
All right, JC. It's good to hear from you again.
Oh, don't. JC. How dare you? I don't have to take this kind of abuse.
Goodbye, JC. JC Webster, alive and obviously not well. Not well at all. Where in the heck has he been? Let's go out to Las Vegas. Gordon's with us. Hey, Gordon, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, how you doing
tonight? Okay, I'm doing fine.
Great. I got to tell you, you're one of my favorite radio talk show hosts. I really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, Gordon.
And
it's nice to hear.
I was wondering if we could turn the tables and I could interview you.
When would you like to do that?
Right now.
Oh, gosh, we got so many people lined up. How long do you want to go with this?
Just a couple questions.
All right.
Okay. You're coming out with a new book called Mad as Hell. What's
yes.
that all about?
Coming out in June. It's a lot about my life, but it's also about some of my views. I think you'll like that story and you'll like the book. But it's got all kinds of little tidbits in there about how I was raised, what I did as a kid, and things like that. It's just kind of an interesting, somewhat biography of my life.
Well, you have a lot of guests that come on the show and talk about current events.
Yeah.
Now, did any of those people influence you to sit down and write your own book?
Yeah, they have over the years. I mean, I've had my own views on certain things, and we've had some great authors working with me on books like Bill Burns and Rosemary Ellen Guiley and things like that. But a lot of the guests have influenced my opinions of things, not necessarily writing the specific books that I've written, but opinions to be sure. Tom, text, tweet. We're going to do two right now. What do you have for us?
All righty. So we're going to go with a text from Carlos in Cincinnati.
All right.
Can you please talk about this Trump-Russia fiasco and tell us how you think it will play out?
I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, it is a bizarre story, and let me go back and preface it by saying I try to call things the way I see them. We did not support publicly Hillary or Trump. We had guests on from both sides, as you know, Tom.
Yes.
Just trying to present the various views. Donald Trump came on like a rocket ship at the end for that election.
So fast.
A lot of people expected Hillary to win. Trump just kept pushing forward, and he won. I don't get why the media is so involved in this Russian situation with Trump, where there are other issues more important. I don't see anything wrong with any administration about to get elected or campaign meeting with other government leaders, like in Russia or any place else. I think that's smart.
It's fantastic. I think they just have another thing to pick on him for.
They weren't spying or anything like that, but It's a weird situation. And the other thing that's weird is his accusations on the wiretapping. We got to investigate this and find out what the heck is going on. Were they maybe trying to wiretap somebody working for Trump? Who knows? Because it was another story that broke today that he's been involved with some nasty people and Bajan. And so the trouble is with all this, it's taken away from running the country.
Well, that's my question. Why can't they just leave him alone and give him a chance?
Oh, they're not going to leave him alone. They're going to keep at this. They either want him to resign or to get impeached. They want to find something that he has done.
They're just impeding moving forward.
It's going to be a mess. I mean, let's get this country saved first. Exactly. We got a whack job in North Korea, who at any moment will try to launch a nuke-based missile on Japan or, like I said tonight, Hawaii. He's insane.
Remember we used to talk about what we do to Kim Jong-il to get him to be friends?
Yeah. Go play basketball.
Exactly.
Get Dennis Rodman.
So Sarah in Santa Barbara, she wants to know if you think that we're still going to get hit by an asteroid, and if you think we are, when could it happen?
It's not if, it's just when. I mean, probability will tell you that eventually we will get hit by an asteroid. I hope to God it's not a big one, but if it's a decent-sized one and it hits a city, that city's obliterated instantly. If it hits in the ocean, there's going to be tsunamis, as it pushes forward. But we're going to get hit. I mean, we find asteroids that zoom past the planet, and we never saw them coming.
But insulating
the grid, them leaving.
Insulating the grid would help, right?
No. You mean against an asteroid strike? No.
No. Not still boom.
You're thinking like of building a shield around the planet?
Yeah.
We don't have any capabilities to do that.
It's too bad.
Next up, we're going back to Detroit. This time, George is with us east of the Rockies. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
Well, I was born on 4th Street at the foot of West Grand Boulevard at the William Booth Memorial Hospital that isn't there no more. That's the guy that started the Salvation Army, so I was born like right on the riverfront there.
You've got a train coming by. I hope you're not on the tracks.
Yeah. No, anyways, I was actually born on the same date as King Pakal. You remember him? That's the one that people are saying in like the 7th or 8th century was the Mayan king.
Lord Pakal. Lord Pakal, they called him, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is with that, he was one of those with the Mayans that sacrificed people and cut their hearts out of their bodies when they were alive. So I think that disqualifies him as Jesus of Nazareth.
I would think so, yeah.
Anyways,
He was highlighted in the Apocalypto movie that Mel Gibson did.
Yeah. Anyways, wanted to say why I don't believe in aliens or...
Oh, you don't? How come?
No. Reincarnation. Either one. Well, for one reason...
Tell me why.
For both of them, it's Jesus Christ, that he's the measure of all things. And everything that I look at and hear, I judge through the filter of how does it relate to Jesus Christ, what he said, taught, and who he is, and it doesn't. So this planet is like a quarantine planet. So, this is where Satan and his demons are here and where Jesus fought them and become part of our... I agree with Rick Delaney about that he was talking about that, and Jesus became a human being here. So if these people are coming here, they're either without sin. If they're not without sin, then they need someone to die for them, like Christ became a human being and died so he could reconcile us to God, or they have to stay away from here because they would be corrupted if they are without sin. And God's power is infinite. He's infinite, eternal, omniscient, omnipotent. Omnipotent, omnipresent. So when you look out there in the universe, all these galaxies and all of that, it's like, what would you expect from a God with infinite power? That it's for our wonder to see that his power is there. But he says that all that's going to come to naught ultimately. Even this earth, he'll recreate it. So,
but the Catholic Church is believing now in extraterrestrial life.
No, actually they don't. You actually had guys on a Saturday that run that... The Vatican's telescope, and they had actually talked to him and got that thing where the Pope said that he would baptize aliens.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to baptize aliens Jesus didn't die for Venusians or those from Orion. He died for the human race. That's why he became a human. He didn't become somebody from Alpha Centauri, so that doesn't make sense. But this guy said the Pope didn't even say that. He said they asked him about it, and then he just gave kind of a smirky, response, and then they put that on the Pope. So he didn't say that. But he's saying something about aliens or something. People go whatever he wants. The Bible doesn't specifically say that, but it's implied.
And reincarnation, you don't believe in that?
No, I don't believe in that because it doesn't make sense. You never hear anybody now. They'll say all these things, and you've been in the midst of this, George. I know you believe it very much. That we talked to somebody that died, and they're on the other side. And then somebody called in and says, "Well, if they're on the other side, and you're saying that they get reincarnated into other people in this world, how does that work?" And it's like, well, 20% of them stays there, and then the other 80% is several different people here on this planet, George, or in the multiverses or on other planets. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But even the thing of karma doesn't make sense. What is intent? If you're a roach, what is a good roach? How do you work your way up to a cat and then a horse and then a human being? By being a good roach, does a good roach only eat the crumbs that are on the floor? Or does a good roach cause as much problems as anything? He gets into the cupboards and gets into your cereal boxes. That's a good roach. Well, you were a good roach. Now you're promoted to be a cat. It all breaks down. It's like it's not. People are just coming off their head with this stuff. Whereas 20% here, and there's several of you sharing that, and you're under different names and dying and different karma, and it just gets too wacky.
All right, but you do believe in a hereafter, life after death, a heaven and a hell.
I believe
right?
in Jesus Christ, and I believe that He's coming, and He's going to resurrect those that are trusting in Him and give them a new body. And then you were talking about this the other day. I'm surprised the guy who's a Christian. He was talking about the different things that are happening, but God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and the new earth, the old one will be done away with.
Totally, right.
Pardon me?
Totally gone, right?
Yeah, totally gone. There'll be no sun, no moon, no stars, no oceans, only the river of life. There'll be trees there, and there'll be, they think, the New Jerusalem, which is the big celestial city. Some think it'll orbit the earth as a, elevated city, or some think it'll sit down on the earth like right where Jerusalem is now. But so it says that and the light will come from God Himself dwelling with His people and from the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ.
Well, we shall see. George, got to run. We're already at the bottom of the hour. This is very fast. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We send out notes and messages all the time. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, and let's go right back to the calls. Open lines next hour as well. Ryan is in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, welcome to the show, Ryan. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, hi. How's it going? I'll just keep it brief. I was just wondering, JC, he sounded like he should have been on a Dean Martin roast.
Oh, my God. I know. Sound like he's having a nervous breakdown, doesn't it?
I was kind of shocked at that. I haven't heard that guy in a while. But it sounded like he should have been on one of those old Dean Martin roasts with Johnny Carson. Anyway, I didn't mean to ramble about that. How's Stanton Friedman then? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still doing well. He had a heart attack, not a big one, a few years ago, but he's still doing well. We should get him back as a guest.
Anyway, that's all I wanted. You have a good night, George, and I love what you've been doing.
Hey, Ryan, quick question. How close are you to Everett, Washington?
Everett, Washington, that's just up I-5. My grandpa worked up there in Boeing in the 70s. I think that's where Boeing's at, but it's pretty far away. Everett's pretty close to Seattle. I grew up right here in Vancouver, just across the river from Portland, Oregon, by on the Columbia River. But Everett, God, I haven't been there for 15 years, maybe.
Yeah, my staff wants to have a live stage show out there. What do you think?
Oh, wow, that's amazing. God, I'd love to see that.
Would you go to it?
Well, yeah. God, I would love to go to that.
Okay,
wow.
I think we're going to do that. All right, thanks, Ryan. We can't announce it yet because they're still putting things together. I love live stage shows. Just love them. It's so much fun. And then meeting people afterwards. It's perfect. JP's in St. Louis. Hey, JP, how's the weather out there?
Oh, doing great, George. Pretty warm today.
Strange. It's been a weird winter.
By the way, I know you here in St. Louis sometimes.
Yeah.
You're gonna be here, you know, August 21st is going to be that solar eclipse.
That's right.
About St. Louis.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Anyway, George, I'm a regular listener, and I've called him before, but I take exception to, I think you should consider this, when you said about the meteor hitting, it's only a time, you would normally think that, except I think you should consider this, that in history, I think as a believer, I agree with that one caller, that God's in total control. Man's not running this world. It's crazy. I mean, a man thinks he's running this world, but really he's not. I'll give you a perfect example. I know you're a Navy guy.
Yeah.
You know that story about, it came out not that long ago, the Russian to save the world?
Mm-hmm.
That submarine, the U.S. Navy was trying to get it to and was sending out depth charges, not to destroy it, but he thought he was under attack.
Right.
He was trying to get to rise up. That other officer wanted to launch nuclear-tipped missiles at the U.S.
He was ready.
And that other officer is the only reason, we came within a hair of launching. So, you know, in my mind, there's so many cases in history.
All right, but let's get back to the asteroid. So you think that if one was coming our way, some kind of divine intervention would stop it?
Well,
I would hope so, but I'm not sure.
Well, I just think that the world is not being run by man. The big picture, God's in total control of the world, and the Bible predicts all this, what will happen and so forth. And, you know, it's just God's in control. Man's not running.
Well, I believe in the book of Revelation and end times. I think those things are going to happen.
Yeah, well, like I say, I think God's running the whole big picture. Mankind thinks he's running the whole show, but he's really not. And about the North Korea guy, you would think, I mean, you used to watch, remember the old Mission Impossible? I'm surprised that that guy.
Well, where'd you go? He's gone. Oh, when the phones work, they're great. When they're not, they're not. Okay, Sharon in Crane, Missouri, welcome to the show. Hey, Sharon. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
There you are.
Yes. I'd like to tell you about my best friend in the whole world. Her name is Miss Phyllis. She's 82. And last year, she had a very severe stroke. She was in the hospital. Her condition deteriorated to the point where the doctors told her family and her friends to be prepared for the end. She couldn't move. She couldn't talk. And she coded. And the doctors said, she's gone. Her family was there. They were, you know, crying and grieving. And she was gone, gone, gone. And all of a sudden, all of the monitors just started going off, and buzzers and alarms. And this woman who had a major stroke, was not able to move or speak, sat up in bed with her arms raised over her head and said, hello, everybody.
No. Wow.
She told everyone, she said, I was with God. She said, I was in heaven. She said, it was the most beautiful place that I have ever, ever seen. The flowers there, she said, I cannot describe the colors. There are no colors on this earth to compare. She said, I saw crystal streams, and the fish were beautiful, beautifully colored. Again, no colors to compare on earth. And she said, it was really funny, and she told me later she thought it was for me because I love animals. She didn't see any animals, but she saw a donkey. And I said, well, Miss Phyllis, I said, what did God look like? She said, he was all around me. She said, I have never felt so loved, so cared for, so protected ever in my life.
Did they bring her back? Now, obviously, yeah, there was a reason she didn't die.
I'm getting to that.
All right.
Miss Phyllis, all her life, has been the most Christian woman I've ever known. She never judges. She never tries to push her beliefs on people. but she has loved God all her life and just tried to serve him. And she does that by loving people, everybody. And so when she told God, "Oh, I'm so happy to be home with you," God told her, "I still have work for you to do."
Yeah.
"I am sending you back."
She's not done yet.
He's not done yet. And she came back and she said it was the hardest thing she ever had to do because she wanted to stay with him. She loves him so much. But she has come back, and the very story that she has told of what happened to her, I have personally seen what changes it has made in people's lives. And Miss Phyllis is a truth seeker and a truth sayer.
Is she still going strong, Sharon?
Oh, she's recovering from her stroke. She still has some weakness, but she speaks, she walks, she's recovering slowly, and people are just drawn to her. She exudes love, and she says, "That's what I want to do, serve God and spread his love, because he loves everyone."
That's how old is she now? Still 80? Was this 82 when it happened, or she's 82 now?
She's 82 now.
She could.
I told her, I said, "Miss Phyllis, I cried for you this time, and I asked God not to take you. I said, but when he finally does call you home, I won't cry for you, and I won't ask him to leave you here, because I know you want to go back so bad."
I love that story, Sharon. Thank you. Terrence is truck driving in Florida. Let's see what's on Terrence's mind. Hello, Terrence.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Well, I just had a question. I've been listening for a long time, and I notice a lot of your guests, you know, say give different types of meditations a chance. Well, Ecclesiastes 9:5 says that the dead are conscious of nothing. And I just want to know what you thought about that.
One more time. I didn't understand that.
Ecclesiastes 9:5, it lets you know that the dead are conscious of nothing. I just wanted to know what was your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm not sure about the scripture, but I've been a believer in life after death for a long time, with a moment of not believing, a short moment, but I'm a staunch believer in it now. I also believe in reincarnation. I think the soul comes back until it reaches a level of perfection, and then it goes and doesn't come back anymore. Last text and tweets for this hour. What do we have, Tom?
We'll start with a text from Charity in Kentucky. "In regards to the other night, I would never eat a human. Can you honestly say you would?"
Well, as I said last night, I would not do it. But the problem is, under extreme circumstances of starvation and death, what would you do? You may be in a different state of mind. I mean, the state of mind I'm in now, where, you know, we just went out and had a little dinner, we're not going to eat anybody. We're not even going to think about that. So it's easy to say no right now. But when you're in that situation, like these poor rugby soccer players were in the Andes Mountains.
But there's dirt. There's trees. There's something.
What's that got to do with it?
Because you eat that.
I don't think you can eat dirt.
You can. I know kids that have eaten dirt.
And swallow it?
You've never seen little kids that eat dirt when they're really little?
Well, not really. They.
There's got to be an alternative.
So what else do we have?
Let's go with John in Idaho. He wants to ask you what you think is the greatest conspiracy of all time.
The John F. Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, got to be.
That would be way up there, numero uno. Howard in Vancouver, Washington, welcome to the program. Hi, Howard.
Hello, George.
Hey, good to have you back.
It was good to hear old JC again tonight.
Yeah, he's alive and kicking, but doesn't sound like he's doing well, does it?
No, it doesn't. He's been calling in there since Art Bell was a pup.
Yeah, he is, but he seems like he's having a breakdown or something.
Well, anyway, tonight I wanted to talk to you about, you were talking at the beginning of the program about this little boy that saved his dad.
Yes.
Now, that's not the first time I've heard of an incident like that.
No, no, it's not. I've heard of others, too, like that.
I remember many years ago, here locally, there was a case where I think it was a 5 foot tall, 5 foot 2 inch tall woman lifted a 5,000 pound Buick off of her little boy, you know, and saved him.
What you wonder is it the adrenaline in the body that kicks in and gives you this super strength, or is it something angelic that steps in to help you?
That's what I wanted to talk about. I have a suspicion about that. It's been calculated that the human skeleton simply can't support that kind of weight. Now, I think that something supernatural is involved here.
And yeah.
I think there's a part of the mind that when it's under extreme stress like that, it triggers it, and it's capable of producing that kind of strength. It's coming from somewhere else. And I think that maybe at one time, you know, people were more capable of accessing that than we are today. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there is no question there's some other force involved. I mean, I think medically speaking, it's entirely possible that with enough adrenaline, the human body might be capable of strength way beyond what you think you can do. But in these cases, come on, there's got to be some help somewhere. I mean, I remember we opened up the phone lines for miracle stories, which we do every once in a while, especially during the Christmas season, which will come up sooner than later this year. And we've had super strength stories of angelic intervention. A lady saw her son hanging from the rafters of a garage. He was hanging himself, and she saved him with super strength and picked him up and pushed him up. And people think an angel was there pushing him up, too. Cornelius in Louisiana is with us. Hello there, stranger.
Hey, what's happening, George? I'm glad our friend Jay-Z called in. We were worried about him.
Well, he is, but he doesn't sound good. He sounds depressed.
Well, you know what, George, I tell you, I get a little depressed sometimes, but it's something about listening, and your music collection is unbelievable, and it's just something about listening to your show. And, of course, a shout-out to Tommy. He's the best producer in the world. But, you know, I was listening last week, and a black fella said, that God's Guns and Gold, man, he's going to get in trouble with the government if he keeps on saying that. So I'm going to keep on saying, people, get ready for your God's Guns and Gold and your Bible Bullets and Beans. George Norway's army, we need to get ready, because they're really trying to get rid of Trump, this Russian connection and stuff. And then where the CIA can cut all your phones and all like that, you can tell that there's something getting ready.
I've never seen anything like it before. Come on, let's either the guy's in office 2 months. Let's let him rule. I mean, he won the election, folks. He didn't cheat. He won. Whether you like him or not, he won. So let's rally around the president as we did around President Obama. And look, I started losing my faith in George W. Bush on the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
We were lied to about that, and we're still in Iraq. What a mess that is.
But you know, George, I think he was lied to.
I think they took advantage of him. I think he fell for it. I think I would love to have seen what he told his aides when he realized that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and he has said that publicly now.
Yeah. George, one more thing, and before I go, I know that it's we're getting ready close to the next hour. I would appreciate your help, and you've been helping others. You know, I'm still trying to get that part. I've been 3 years trying to get it.
Right.
And I heard you know some people in the Trump administration, so maybe I can send you my paper just to look over, and maybe
Send us a copy of it. Don't send me the original.
Oh no!
Send us a copy of it, and I can forward it on to people.
Oh, okay. Well, George and the Coast to Coast listeners and stuff, God bless everybody. And like I tell everybody, get your God, guns, and gold, Bible, bullets, and beads, and get ready.
Well, you know, you've got your own fan club here now, Cornelius.
Oh, no.
It's growing.
Well, thank you, George. And that Tommy, take care of Mr. Tommy.
All right. He's a good guy. All right. Thanks, Cornelius. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, we've got Barry in Rock Hills, North Carolina. Hello there, Barry. Welcome to the show.
This is perfect timing, George. Hello, Cornelius. Get him back on there so I can talk to him.
He's gone. He hung up.
All right. Tell him hello for me. God, Bibles, bullets, and beans. You said it. And I'm telling you that Cornelius is a great guy. And if I could ever get to Mardi Gras again, that's exactly where I'd go.
He is a good guy.
Listen, a variation on Tommy's idea on stopping that idiot over there in North Korea. What we do is we give him a basketball team, the Harlem Globetrotters, and he can laugh all the way through the game, and then they win every game.
They never lose, do they?
They never lose. But anyway, I just want to say, JC, you idiot. Hello, and Joe in the Bronx, and Cornelius. Cornelius is my favorite. I used to live in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and he knows where it is.
He's a good guy. Barry, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. We're going to come back for another hour of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And also, of course, please make sure if you need to send me an email, you get it to George at coasttocoastam.com.